we are back on Outlaw Vineyard Radio. And as I said, we're going to be speaking tonight with Steve Iacovelli, calling us from Orlando, Florida. Thank you, Steve. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
Well, it's great to speak to you. And I know I'm looking forward to seeing you at Gay Wine Weekend in July, you and your husband. So excited about that.
Yes, we're looking forward to it and trying to get ready, already to have some wine right now so that we
excellent.
Come July, we're ready.
Pour yourself a glass of wine and let's chat because you've been busy.
We have been, yes. It's been a good start to 2017 already.
Absolutely. So you have a company, Steve, called Top Dog Learning Group.
Yes, and I'm sure the audience will giggle at that one.
Right, but, tell us about Top Dog.
Yeah, so about 10 years ago, I left the corporate world. I'm a former IBMer. I was a professor for a hot minute. I worked at Disney, and I said, I want to do my own gig. So about 10 years ago, I started a consulting practice, and we focus on learning and development, change management. And my doctorate's actually in instructional technology and distance education, so really focus around using technology for teaching and learning, and that's kind of what my consulting practice does.
Mm-hmm. Great. And so you've been doing that for how long now?
So it's been since 2007.
Great.
I had a business partner here and there and have a loose affiliate of a whole bunch of really awesome consultants we work with. And then with the particular online training that I know you and I chatted about, I work with a colleague of mine at another company, Leslie Aguilar, at International Training Development, and we partnered together to create some cool stuff online.
Mm-hmm. And this is really cool. And you caught me. I found this because you posted out this week about the new online on diversity and inclusion.
Yeah.
Which I thought is really, really a topic that's very much needed right now.
Yeah, even more so than ever. And actually, sales are indicating that, which I guess is a good thing that folks are turning to this product. So about 10 years ago, my friend Leslie and I, she actually approached me and said, hey, this whole online learning thing, and you're also passionate about diversity and inclusion, and that's where her space has been. She's like, I want to start creating some online stuff. I said, great. So we launched into a series. We actually have 5 out of 6. We're in the midst of doing the last of the 6th one that we've created.
Right.
But we really started thinking about different ways that people look at diversity and inclusion, and we focused it more from a corporate perspective or an organizational or work perspective, with our idea saying that if we can kind of work through businesses to engage in diversity and inclusion, that kind of ripples out through the greater society, and it's usually a pretty good strategy to get people to think about things in a little bit different manner than maybe what they did before.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's fair. It's happening. I will tell you, even here in Sonoma, I was recently asked to be on a task force for our Sonoma Valley Unified School District on this very topic.
Nice.
Of diversity and inclusiveness. And we just started meeting about a month and a half ago, and we're at that point right now where we're actually getting surveys out to students and teachers and parents.
Mm-hmm.
And we've actually a lot and the most interesting and the best feedback that we get, we were just having this discussion with somebody the other day, is really hearing what the students have to say.
Yeah.
Because those are the ones that this is all affecting. And it is, and it's on every level. It's race, it's ethnicity,
mm-hmm.
it's the age, and even and generational, from what parents are thinking or teachers are thinking to what they're thinking. And it's really so it was very interesting when I went online and started to listen to some of the different sites that you have in regards to race and ethnicity, because you break this whole thing down into race and ethnicity, age and generation, LGBT community. And then I thought it was really and also very timely that you did also you broke out even the T just for transgender as well.
Yeah, and what we found, which is really interesting, so we started with, actually the first one we did was race and ethnicity, which is, when people think about diversity and inclusion, that's kind of where they gravitate toward first.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started saying, well, let's look at, age and generations and look at that in the workplace. And then we worked into LGBT community and what that looks like, again, from a business perspective. So if we start getting a little bit more in the less comfort zone than the quote-unquote typical diversity training. And so when we launched said, again, our lens is through, you know, thinking about like someone sitting in their cubicle or someone sitting on the front line getting pulled into a training room, going through these modules to help them understand, well, why does my business need to focus on the LGBTQ community and look at that? And then as we started progressing, we said, you know, in our LGBT module, we didn't really focus as much on the T as we should. So several years ago, Leslie and I kind of embarked on creating that own separate module. And to our knowledge, we are the only one that has created a gender identity and gender expression module focused for the corporate adult and really helping them understand, well, why does my business need to focus on gender identity and gender expression, what that looks like in the workplace and how that benefits not just the business, but of course the individual employees who may be transitioning or part of the transgender community.
Right. And it's really so relevant right now because especially ever since marriage equality, like I've used that here, you know, here we was living in Sonoma, you know, which is a hospitality driven industry. So it's so important because the vernacular is changing.
Yeah.
You know, it's no longer every time someone calls to make a reservation for a hotel and so, and you just automatically someone goes, and what's your wife's name?
Exactly.
And people go, Paul. It's like, you know, it's, you know, that whole, so many things have to start changing. I mean, it's like just changing the vernacular, making people realize how they need to approach things now in this world.
And that's actually why we just launched the newest one, which in kind of in hindsight, we're like, well, this should have been the first one because it's really just a more generic looking at exploring diversity and inclusion. But I'm glad we didn't do it until now because what both Leslie and I have been really diving into, like doing as much research and doing a lot of writing and speaking on, is the whole concept of exactly, Gary, what you just talked about, unconscious bias and what that looks like when I do a call and someone, you know, I've had a call today and they said, oh, is your wife home? I'm like, speaking.
Right, exactly.
So in those little tiny microaggressions that happen, we really wanted to start to address that in our case in an online training format. And how we typically tee up these programs to clients is we say, you know what, have people go through it, but the conversation can't stop when the 20 minutes is done in the online learning. It really has to keep going forward. And so we set them up to say, okay, you know, here's talking points to have a face-to-face meeting after people go through it. And especially around, say, the gender identity and gender expression module, what we find is, you know, follow up with a webinar, bring in a trans person if you maybe don't have somebody within your business or who's willing to speak up to talk through, okay, great, you went through the trans 101 stuff. Now let's have a chat about what that really means to you and kind of go through that. So what we're also finding, too, especially with the gender identity as well as the LGBT module, is some people react to those particular topics even in a business perspective, on an emotional level. Kind of, if they're doing it on their own in their self-paced, in their own cubicle or at home or whatever, they kind of react to it how they react to it, and then they can kind of get that away and then bring it back into, say, a meeting room or a webinar, and then really talk about it on a slightly more logical level than just, you know, initially reacting to it from that emotional perspective.
Very true. And so what is the difference between, and let's go back some basics here.
Yeah.
Tell me, what is diversity versus inclusion?
Yeah. So one of my friends said the most beautiful way, diversity is you are invited to the dance. Inclusion means someone comes up and asks you to actually dance.
I love that phrasing. I love it. Oh, nobody ever asked me to dance.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'd include you.
Maybe this summer at the tea dance, you'll ask
me
to dance.
Perfect.
Okay.
See me dance.
You'll make a dream come true for
there
me.
There you
finally.
Go. Good.
No, but all seriousness, that is perfect. I love that analogy.
Yeah, and it's great. So it's you know, not just saying, hey, you know, have a seat at the table, but it's, hey, we want to hear what you have to say, person of difference. And that's really, and you're actually seeing a lot of bigger organizations drop the whole diversity piece, and they're just talking about either inclusion or employee engagement, you know, making that a broad term.
Yeah.
So it's almost dropping the diversity thing because they're like, well, yeah, we got that.
Yeah,
but let's make sure
like,
that people are really
exactly.
Included.
I was just going to say that because it seems diversity has, it's overused and everyone wants to be diverse and have diversity in their company and organization, but taking it a step further is now, you're diverse, but are you including, are you bringing everyone to the table?
Exactly.
Right. And so how long did it take you to have this site go live? How long from when you started it?
Yeah, it's an interesting process. So, like I said, my colleague Leslie and I, she does the bulk of the research. She's beautifully detail oriented, and she really researches the heck out of the topics, especially to make them as timely as possible. So, some of the modules, though, like let's say for example, the race and ethnicity. Well, I could go, and I'm the one who actually builds the learning itself and kind of helps fine tune it for consumption. We use resources that are available to anyone. We go to iStockPhoto. We go to say like an online voices.com or some other ones. I'm not endorsing any of these. They just happen to be some of the tools I use.
Right.
But there are ways, I mean, it's pretty easy. We don't use actual video, but we use flash-based movement. So it's mimicking kind of the movement. So I can, go and find, I need a person of color, and I can go to iStock and find the right person. Well, that works out great, and that's usually about, once the script is written, it's about a 6 to 9 month process until we're actually in like beta testing mode where we give it to a bunch of corporations. And we say, hey, pick this apart and chew it and see what happens. Mm-hmm. That held true until we got to the gender identity and gender expression module, because I couldn't, in all authenticity, go out to iStock and say, ooh, that will now be a trans woman. That's not cool. Mm-hmm. So what we did for that particular module is we actually hired models. We did photo shoots in New York. And so that process wonderfully took longer, but it made the product much more authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And then to find the voice, I couldn't just say, this person is now a trans man, because all of our modules have a host or narrator. Which
as
humans,
I like that. It makes it very real. It makes it very more, it sort of personalizes it a little bit. I enjoyed listening to it.
Yeah, thank you. And so when we got to the gender identity, gender expression module, we were really adamant about debunking a lot of the unconscious bias, because when we talk to people, we say, in your head, picture a trans person, and they immediately go to a trans woman, which is fine, but we went just twisted that just a little bit. So our host for that module is a trans man. His name is Brian, as the host. And when we were trying to find the voice, we actually had the gentleman who did the photo shoot, we had him read off, and his voice was fine. He just didn't have the best intonation that really we wanted to use as an engaging way. So went to some of my resources. I'm like, how the heck am I going to find a trans person to do this voiceover? And lo and behold, I found one in Canada, and he was fantastic. Funny thing is, we market to both the U.S. and Canada.
Uh-huh.
So it was fine that we got a Canadian, because he does the boats and all that stuff. But I'm like, that's fine. That's in our market. That works out well. Mm-hmm. But he self-identifies as two spirits. We're like, perfect.
And we love Justin Trudeau.
Who doesn't? Hello.
Hello. In fact, I'm like, every time I see him, I'm like, can we trade? Can we do
trade here? Can we tag off?
Right.
Yeah. So that particular module doubled the amount of time. So that one took us about a year and a half to get to market. And since then, we've had a lot of really nice success. We've been written up in Huffington Post and some other online groups.
Oh, great.
Because it's so unique.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, and because, and right, and now also because the buying power of our LGBT market out there is huge and growing all the time. So it's really so much more relevant now, I'm sure, to businesses and corporations to really, but they need to be authentic about it, but to come on board with something like this.
Yeah, it's been, and that's who we really look at is those larger organizations who say, we don't care what state law is trying to dictate or even federal law. This is the right thing to do, and we want our employees to know what's the right thing to do from an inclusivity perspective.
Right.
And that's who we're seeing purchase and look at some of our products.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's great to hear, because if it's anything, I always say that right now, more so than our community, fighting the fight, we also need our allies. We need those companies and corporations, large and small, to come and fight the fight with us.
Exactly.
That's what we need now more so than ever. Well, I think this is just absolutely great. And so if people want to go online and learn about all this, how can they do that?
Yeah, thanks. The diversityinclusioncenter.com is where Leslie and I have kind of housed our main hub. And you can check out all the different five of the six. The last one that we're finishing up is on gender. So we kind of worked our way around the diversity wheel, if you will, and gender is the last one we're in the midst of. But all the other ones are up there. If you're interested, take a look, click the little form, and we'll give give you full rein access to kind of play around, see how well you do. In every one of our modules, there's a an actual like scenario or a case study where you are a person. So it's kind of like, if you remember, maybe I'm dating myself, the Choose Your Own Adventure books.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, I have no idea. No clue. Pre-computers. Yeah. So we kind of put you in, like, after you go through the module, like, oh, you are the manager, and this is the situation you have to face, given the knowledge that you have, whether it's, you know, generic diversity and inclusion, or looking at, say, you know, one of your employees just transitioned, it's her first day, how do you mm-hmm. react to that, what do you say? And it's pretty fun. We try to add some humor and some engagement in it, but still, of course, some really good knowledge and information in the modules.
And is this something that you will be updating, you know, every 6 months or year or 2 years as things progress or as things change or anything like that?
Yeah. Yeah, matter of fact, the version of the LGBT module that we have available, that's the second iteration we did, because, you know, we did the first version pre-marriage equality. So, you know, and a lot of the laws changed, a lot of different things. So we went in and we're like, no, we have to change this right now. So we try to make it as contemporary as possible. Even things like statistics that we have, say, on the race and ethnicity, we really try to go through those about once a year or so, just to refresh them and update them and make sure that they're as contemporary as possible.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's great. I mean, keeping it up to date. And what is your ultimate goal that you really want to see with this program? Where do you want to see it go to and out to, and, you know, as time goes on?
Yeah, that's a great question. Ultimately, what I'd like to see is for smaller, or the bigger organizations are getting there, whether they're using our product or some other one, it doesn't matter, as long as they're getting the message out. And I think that's happening. Mm-hmm. Where I see the sweet spot is these smaller organizations, smaller municipalities, right. Those types of folks who this isn't maybe the norm of their learning, mm-hmm. Or their professional development for their employees or who works for them, to really see those types of folks consuming it, because I think that's the tipping point where, you know, when you have people in smaller, mid-sized businesses who are really hankering for, I really want to understand the LGBT community. I really want to understand why unconscious bias might be impacting the way I do my business. Mm-hmm. That's when I think we've really hit the right note.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Especially a lot of people who want to pass these religious freedom bills and, mm-hmm. you know, so that people can, you know, discriminate against us, will need to do this. In fact, I even know there's a woman in Tennessee named Kim Davis. I'm going to refer you to her. She needs to go through this program and understand.
Yeah, it's funny because it seems like every time I turn on the news or look at my Facebook feed or whatever, listen to NPR, I just keep thinking, my goodness, there's another sale I could have because you people need to go through my stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. There's no doubt about that. Well, Steve, we're just about out of time here, so I thank you so much for joining me this evening. But once again, will you give me the website so people can know where to go to?
Yes, diversityinclusioncenter.com. That's all squished together as one word.
Got it. Perfect. Well, thank you so much. Give my best to Richard. And I know we're going to see you out here in Wine Country in July.
And I will dance with you, of course, because I included you.
Oh, you're going to bring me to the table. I love it. Bring me to the dance floor.
Perfect.
Okay, twirl me around. Thanks so much, and best of luck to you.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye. Take care. And we'll be right back on Out in the Vineyard Radio.